George W. Bush, the son of a president and a son of Texas, became the 43rd president of the United States at noon yesterday. Placing his hand on a Bible first used by George Washington at his inauguration in 1789 and last used by George Herbert Walker Bush in 1989, the younger President Bush swore to uphold the Constitution. And in the same moment, President William Jefferson Clinton, the man who sent the first President Bush to early retirement 8 years ago, became citizen Bill Clinton. NPR chief political correspondent Elizabeth Arnold reported on Texas Governor George W. Bush when he announced his intention to run for the White House, and she watched yesterday as he became the President of the United States.
In a cold, steady rain, George W. Bush took the oath of office and ended one of the most divisive elections in history. Chief Justice William Rehnquist swore him in, making official what the court made possible by a 5-4 vote last month. Bush smiled as he recited the oath and took a deep breath when he reached the end. His vindicated father, the former president, watched with tears in his eyes. His challenger, Vice President Al Gore, with a stoic smile frozen in place. Both living their own private dramas, were engulfed by members of Congress, a sea of plastic ponchos and Stetson hats. With thousands of supporters spread out on the mall before him and protesters only blocks away, Bush moved quickly to put an end to ill will. The first president in more than a century to take office without winning the popular vote gave a speech that was more thematic than specific. At times, it echoed ideas sounded over the last 8 years by President Clinton, putting people first, leaving no one behind. Democratic lawmakers nodded as Bush referred to the limiting effects of prejudice, failing schools, and poverty.
We do not accept this, and we will not allow it. Our unity, our union, is the serious work of leaders and citizens in every generation. And this is my solemn pledge. I will work to build a single nation of justice and opportunity.
But while the speech focused on common values to bridge the divide between the parties, there were also notes sounded to excite a crowd whose partisanship was evident as it loudly cheered the promise of tax cuts.
Together we will reclaim America's schools before ignorance and apathy claim more young lives. We will reform Social Security and Medicare, sparing our children from struggles we have the power to prevent. And we will reduce taxes to recover the momentum of our economy and reward the effort and enterprise of working Americans.
Still, Bush's speech was humble in tone, as was his demeanor when he shook hands with President Clinton and Vice President Gore, but the evidence of the 5-week post-election battle and the residual of bitterness was hard to miss. Republicans and Democrats clashed outside the Capitol and in other cities. The parade route was lined with police in riot gear 5 deep, who pounced on an egg tossed at the motorcade. And at the Supreme Court, the debate over the election's outcome continued cheerleader style. High-level members of both parties, though, sought to remain above the fray for the day, and a bipartisan lunch held with the president inside the Capitol just after his swearing-in was filled with pledges to end division. Behind the red, white, and blue pageantry, though, the change in command was evident. Outgoing President Clinton left office with a last-minute pardon of more than 100 Americans, from Patty Hearst to his brother Roger. Incoming President Bush moved immediately to stop Mr. Clinton's final flurry of regulations and enacted a temporary federal hiring freeze. At the podium, however, Bush championed his less government approach rhetorically by expanding his notion of compassionate conservatism.
Government has great responsibilities for public safety and public health, for civil rights and common schools. Yet compassion is the work of a nation, not just a government. And some needs and hurts are so deep, they will only respond to a mentor's touch or a pastor's prayer.
In his brief remarks, Mr. Bush stopped short of anything that would raise eyebrows among the swarm of lawmakers behind him. He attempted to set a tone, and he began the difficult task of uniting with principles he set forth when he began his campaign.
What you do is as important as anything government does. I ask you to seek a common good beyond your comfort, to defend needed reforms against easy attacks, to serve your nation beginning with your neighbor.
It was a brief, somewhat austere ceremony. The cold drove many quickly inside. President Clinton said goodbye to his cabinet and staff at a rally at Andrews Air Force Base and flew to his new home in New York, saying he's glad to go back to being one of the people. President Bush walked the last stretch of the parade route to his new home at the White House on a day that many presidents recall as their best. And although the protesters continued their vigil well into the night, Republicans in beaded evening gowns teetered into the inaugural balls, and yesterday's swearing-in marked a most official end to the longest and closest election in more than 100 years. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Washington.